Just a few days after Pope Benedict XVI returned to the Vatican at the end of his pastoral visit to the United States, commentators continue to assess the impact of his words on the Catholic Church in America. The Pope's first journey to the United States took him to Washington, D.C., where he was welcomed by President George Bush, celebrated Mass in the new National Stadium, and met with both Catholic bishops and leaders of other faith communities. From there, he travelled to New York, where he addressed the United Nations General Assembly, met with young and disabled Catholics, celebrated Mass both inside St. Patrick's Cathedral and outside in Yankee Stadium, and met with survivors of the September the 11th attacks at Ground Zero, where the World Trade Center towers once stood. That packed programme clearly contained many moving moments for the Pope himself, as he told the enthusiastic crowds gathered at JFK International Airport in New York, with Vice President Dick Cheney to bid him goodbye.
The time has come for me to bid farewell to our country. These days that I have spent in the United States have been blessed with many memorable experiences of American hospitality, and I wish to express my deep appreciation to all of you for your kind welcome. It has been a joy for me to witness the faith and devotion of the Catholic community here. It was heartwarming to spend time with leaders and representatives of other Christian communities and other religions, and I renew my assurance of respect and esteem to all of you.
But just what effect will those words of support and encouragement have on the Catholic Church in America today? To try and find out, I went along to one of the churches where Americans worship here in Rome, the Jesuit Church of St. Francis Xavier, or Caravita as it's often known.
Frankly, I'm thrilled with the way the visit has unfolded.
Sister Carol Regan is a regular worshipper at the Caravita Church, along with Sister Claire Pratt. And as I found out, the two of them had also been following closely the Pope's visit to their homeland.
What has struck you most about it? Why are you so thrilled? Did you not think he would get that kind of reception, that kind of welcome?
Well, you never know how someone is going to be received. I'm not so much thrilled at the reception he's gotten at the way the Pope himself has revealed himself as a gentle, pastoral Pope.
Many people still had the impression, perhaps, that he was a rather harsh doctrinarian, thinking rather more of Cardinal Ratzinger than Pope Benedict.
Perhaps that's so, but I think the way he's written some of the documents that he's given us these last 3 years have shown another side, and perhaps we shouldn't be so surprised that he's showing this deeply pastoral nature.
Do you think it'll have a lasting impact on the church in America?
I hope it does. I hope it does. It's hard to say. I haven't lived there for some years now, but I would hope so, yes.
What about you? Do you live here or do you live in the States?
I live here. I've been here 14 years. And I knew he would be received well, but The two things that have most struck me have been the talks that he gave at the UN, both to the General Assembly and to all the staff, secretaries, translators, whatever, and the marvelous welcome by Secretary General Bonn. I think that was a most positive event where Bonn said, you know, we may be different, we may believe differently, but in fact, we have the same mission, and there was a tremendous reception by him, and that was an international group.
One of the high points of my visit was the opportunity to address the General Assembly of the United Nations, and I thank Secretary General Ban Ki-moon for his kind invitation and welcome. Looking back over the 60 years that have passed since the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, I give thanks for all that the organization has been able to achieve in defending and promoting the fundamental rights of every man, woman, and child throughout the world, And I encourage people of goodwill everywhere to continue working tirelessly to promote justice and peaceful coexistence between peoples and nations.
But perhaps the thing that has most struck me, and I think perhaps will most stay with people in the U.S., was the fact that he met with the survivors of sexual abuse, those who had been abused by priests, in a very quiet way. I read the description given by Father Lombardi of that encounter. And I think it says something about his having a pastoral instinct, which I think he has developed because he is an academic. But I also think he's a humble man. And no, I think that's what people will remember.
Many people are surprised just how often he's spoken about the sex abuse scandals. Is it true that it really was perhaps the defining issue of the American church at the moment?
You know, I've been here a long time and I haven't been there. But in fact, I don't think we can get away from the fact that not just in the Archdiocese of Boston, but all over the U.S., and I have to say in other countries too, this has been an enormous problem. And it has really affected the credibility of the church. We talk about the lack of vocations, for instance, to the priesthood. Of course this is linked. It's not the only factor. But I think there's it's not only the fact that it's happened, but it's the fact that it took the church a long time, first of all, to recognize it and then try to do something about it, and there's still a way to go in terms of that. But I think this is an enormously positive, more than a gesture. He had the humility, and I think the pastoral sense, to take that time with them.
I think in the United States, it's one of the key issues that affects morale and affects the way in which we look at ourselves as church.
Father Mark Francis is Superior General of the Viatorians and one of the pastoral team which ministers to the Caravita community.
It influences how we look at priests and about ministry within the church, and it's something that really marks our understanding of who we are right now as a church really in need of healing and of purification, really.
Pope Benedict, of course, addressed the issue head-on about four or five times in as many days during this visit. He met also with a small group of victims. Has this gone far enough, do you think, to heal some of those wounds?
I think it heals some of the wounds. I think it's the example the Pope has given to encourage the clergy and bishops to continue, not simply saying this is a closed matter because we put some policies in place, but to say that this is something that we continually need to deal with as church. And we need to not only put policies in place, but follow through on those policies as well. What I would like to see would be more tangible kinds of statements by the Bishops' Conference of the United States in terms of moving into a place where it says, well, here are a number of people who have been affected, and to say that we're putting their welfare ahead of worrying about litigation, worrying about losing money, or worry about all that. We're going to basically be worried about the people who have been hurt by this crisis.
The financial side of things, though, is very significant too, isn't it? How much is this going to continue to cause problems for the church for generations to come?
Well, I think for at least another 10, 20 years it's going to continue because of the way in which the back cases are being handled now. The issue really right now is to make sure that as people go through the seminary and they're being trained for priesthood, that they truly be well put together psychologically, sexually, and all those things, and that the church really needs to deal carefully with that, and not because of lack of numbers of priests, simply accept people who are not as well balanced and well integrated as they need to be in order to function as priests.
This was an issue which has in some way perhaps overshadowed this visit. The Pope had many other meetings, interfaith meetings, ecumenical meetings, and so on. What would you say perhaps were some of the highlights? What struck you most personally?
Well, I think that the Pope has come to the United States with a very realistic idea of what the culture is like. I think he's praised the United States for being a culture that admits a place for God in public life. Yet at the same time, he's not overly sanguine about all this, that he realizes that sometimes these references to God can be very superficial, and that there needs to be a Catholic witness to the presence of God in public life that is capable of giving a real critique to the predominant values of consumerism and materialism.
With great affection, I greet once more the priests and religious, the deacons, seminarians and young people, and all the faithful in the United States, and I encourage you to continue bearing joyful witness to Christ, our hope, our risen Lord and Savior. To Christ who makes all things new and gives us life in abundance. For all the people of America and indeed throughout the world, I pray that the future will bring increased fraternity and solidarity, a growth in mutual respect, and a renewed trust and confidence in God, our Heavenly Father. With these words, I take my leave. I ask you to remember me in your prayers, and I assure you of my affection and friendship in the Lord. May God bless America.
Pope Benedict's departing words as he left New York and returned to the Vatican at the end of his pastoral visit last Sunday. My thanks there to Father Mark Francis, to Sister Claire Pratt, and to Sister Carol Regan, regular worshippers at the Caravita American Catholic Community here in Rome.